Okay, welcome to. Wait, not welcome to. This podcast is a podcast done for entertainment, fun. We are not a credible source. We just like to enjoy talking.
And visiting with you.
And visiting with you guys and telling you guys stories. So on that note, let's have fun. Let's talk about a murder. And welcome to It Is What It Is. I'm Sean Marie.
I'm Jean.
All right.
Got that little disclaimer out of the way.
Yes. Okay. I don't know. I'm trying to figure out the way Eric put it was really like it flew beautifully.
Yeah.
I can't remember.
Great.
What he said. So I will get that more jotted down. It won't be so like weird.
No, that wasn't weird at all.
It wasn't? No. It wasn't like a weird introduction.
Okay. You feeling better today, love?
Yes. Good. Oh, yeah. Update, okay. Guys. Well, update.
The whole update.
I'm not going to die from my sadness. It's not going to be a thing. My brother is in a bit of law trouble, but court went somewhat okay. And now we're on to...
Hurry up and wait.
The bigger part of it. Which is the scary part. And so the little part's over. It wasn't as scary. Big part is still going to be scary, but I'll make it through. I just get depressed when it comes to my siblings because I love those little fuckers so much. So it makes me sad. But
yeah,
it's going to be fine. And I listened to the last episode, guys, and I did not mean to sound like such a dick at the end. I was just like on the high peak of all of it and everything. And like it was the day before, nerves, didn't mean to sound like such a dick, but I did. So, sorry. Anyway. Okay, so today we are going to do, it's not as gory as I wanted it to be, but then my mood wasn't as sad, so I didn't want to, you know.
That's all right.
It's still pretty fucked up, but it's just not as the fucked up as the one I wanted to do, but then I brought myself back because I didn't have enough time to devote to the true gruesome one that I wanted to devote to it so that I was more informed. But we will do that one. My little brother says I can now do it. He didn't think Idaho Falls was ready for it before, but now he thinks I can.
Oh, good. All right.
So today, though, we're going to talk about Killer Siblings, episode 9.
Mm.
And
Killer Siblings.
Mm-hmm. Still the first season. Pretty damn good show.
It is. I've seen it.
It's on the Oxygen Channel. And my other source is the ALNewspaper.com from Alabama. Uh-huh. So this story starts off on April 4th, 1955. Fraternal twins, Hugh, quote-unquote, Pete Barnett Jr. and Kenneth Patterson, a.k.a. Pat Barnett, were born in the prominent Gales County of somewhere in Louisiana, I believe. And they were born to Polly and Hugh Peter Barnett Sr. Their dad died in 2000. He was a military contractor. Polly, the mom, also died in 2010. She was retired from the Redstone Arsenal in Huntsville, Alabama. It's an army base. They both were in the army for a long time. The mom did retire out of the army for a period and went to teaching.
Yeah.
And then obviously went back and retired. And that's from her obituary. So I'm not exactly sure what happened in between her stuff. Because that's just what her obituary said. They were a middle class family. They weren't rich, but they weren't poor. Scenario. They lived in a very all right neighborhood. Pete Sr. was very strict. He was a no fuck around man.
Mm-hmm.
And very strict. He is an army man.
Oh, one of those. Yeah.
Yes. Very, very strict. Wanted his boys to be good boys.
Well, don't we all?
Don't we all? Okay, so as little kids, they liked to read paperback books, and they were bullied a lot.
Mm-hmm.
They would sit on the same school bus bench together. And they dressed alike. And by the time these boys were in seventh grade,
yeah,
they were 200 to 250.
Oh, wow.
Pounds.
Wow. Big boys.
Big. Big boys.
Mm-hmm.
And I'll post the picture of their dad holding them when they were infants. You know where the big boy came from. The man is huge.
Yeah.
I looked at it and I was like, why did they zoom in so much on this picture? They didn't. Dude's massive.
Yeah.
So, in seventh grade, there was rumors around the boys about how crazy and mean they were. Once they got bigger, they were no longer the bullies. They were the bulliers.
Yep.
I mean, they weren't the bullied. Sorry. They were no longer the bullied. They were the bulliers.
Mm-hmm.
One of the rumors surrounded about the boys were that they would bury cats up to their heads in the grass and then mow over them.
What? Stop.
Mm-hmm. And everybody believes that the boys started that rumor on their own. That they just wanted everybody to know that they were fucking crazy. And it was also known that if you fought one of the twins, you fought them both. And one of the people tell a story from when they were in school together. And they had problems with, I think it was Pat. And Pete met him in the bathroom and almost killed him. Oh. And strangled him, was strangling him. And then another boy, the kid's friend, came in.
I was like, hey, man.
And stopped it.
Yeah.
And he believes that he would have died that day if his friend didn't come in to the bathroom.
That's a scary situation.
Yeah. And like I said, they dressed alike. I think their most famous thing was a white undershirt and pullover and coveralls and pullovers. Pete was the dominant one. He was the loud one. He had a violent, vicious temper. Pat was kind of the quiet one who really didn't say much because he knew Pete would do it for him. The boys graduated from school in 1973 after school and 18 years of being together. Pete tried to go into the army, lasted about a month. He was not good with being told what to do and all of that nonsense.
What did he expect?
And he never put down roots. Pete was never one to settle down, stay somewhere. He was crazy. So he moved to Chattanooga.
Mm-hmm. Chattanooga.
In Ohio. Yep. Right? Yeah. So wait.
I thought it was.
What's that one?
Cincinnati.
Oh, Cincinnati, Ohio. Yeah. Wow, guys. Chattanooga. I don't know.
That is in Alabama, I believe.
Yeah.
So, Georgia.
Something like that. I think it's Tennessee. Now that I think about it. I was watching Teen Mom.
We're all fucked up.
Who knows? Great. But in Ohio, he seemed lost without his brother, so he started spending his time drinking with friends. In 1975, he was living with two couples, I don't know if they were couples. One of them was a couple.
Uh-huh.
But it was two girls and two guys. One night, the girls went out for smokes. They come back and the door is locked. And they're like, this is weird. Because, when they left, one was sleeping on the couch. One was showering when they left. And Pete was just chilling.
Yeah.
So they come back. Like I said, the door is locked. We're knocking on the door. All of a sudden, Pete opens the door with a bloody knife in his hand. And he says,
whoa.
Mm-hmm. Sink that in for a second. You just came back from getting smokes. Light one.
Bloody knife.
Yeah, with a bloody knife. And he says, you're next.
What?
They think he's joking for some reason. I don't know why, but if I saw a big dude in front of a door with a bloody knife and said, you're next, I'm not pushing past you.
No.
I'll leave, sir.
Yeah.
Thank you.
You betcha.
But no. They were like, you're so fucking funny, Pete. Push past him. When we push past him, we see one of the roommates is on the floor, on the couch, profusely bleeding. He was the one in his sleep. The other one was laying on the living room floor. He was stabbed more than 40 times with a screwdriver, they believe.
Oh, God!
He later passed away. His name was Roger Mills. He was 23 years old. The other guy lived, but was also stabbed multiple times. Pete told at least 10 different stories to the cops.
So did the girls leave at that point?
No, they called the cops.
Oh, okay. And he didn't stab them for
no, he didn't. But okay. So they come in.
Yeah.
They see
yeah.
what happened. They're like, oh my God, oh my God. They call the cops. Pete goes out to the driveway area. This is an apartment complex. He goes out to the
parking area.
I couldn't think of the word. Sorry. Parking area. And sees the cops coming and he starts waving them down. And it's, they describe it like he's waking up from something. And he's like, I'm the one you guys are looking for. I'm the one who stabbed him. But like I said, he told 10 different stories on what quote unquote happened. One of the stories that he said was that they were threatening him to do sexual acts that he wanted no a part of. Is one of the story. The two boy roommates.
Oh, come on.
Mm-hmm. And then his other story was that it was self-defense, but nobody could figure out how it was self-defense when one of the men was sleeping when he was attacked. Like, he woke up to the attack. And no one knows why Pete just fucking snapped.
They didn't call him out on leaving his underwear in the bathroom or...
They don't... No one knows. The girls don't have any idea on what happened. And the guy that lived pretty much just said, I have no fucking clue. Dude snapped. Like, and it all happened quick. Shit just hit the fan. The girls were not gone long.
No, smokes.
Yeah, they went to go get smokes and come back.
Yeah.
So, Pete was 19 at the time. He was convicted of
19?
19. Mm-hmm. 19 years old.
That's still old enough for your mom to beat your ass. Okay, go ahead.
Any age is old enough for your mom to beat your ass. Well, shout out to moms.
I believe that.
Whip them babies. Anyway, he was convicted of manslaughter. He got 25 years. Now, on the other hand, Pat's world was way more stable. So he got a job at the local factory plant in Ohio, where he kept that job for 15 years before all of this craziness happened. So in 1980, he was in an accidental rear-ending of his car. That's where he meets his future wife, Denise.
Oh, she bumped into him.
Yeah.
Oh, get it?
She bumped into him. She did. Literally.
Sorry. Go ahead.
It's cute.
I'm an old softy.
I think it's adorable. Like, when I read that part, I was like, oh, so cute.
Hey, you fucked up my car, but you're cute.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. That's all right.
I always like those cute little love stories.
I do too. I'm but, a softie.
So that's how they met.
Yeah.
That's how he met Denise. And in 1983, they got married. They had two kids together. So Pete's living in jail. Pat has a normal life. He has a wife, a kid, stable job. So after serving 5 years of his sentence, Pat's not in Ohio, guys. I said he was. He's not. He's in Tennessee. I'm sorry.
All right.
So, Pat, after 5 years of being in the Ohio prison, goes up for release and is given parole.
What?
Because the prison in Ohio is overcrowded.
Okay, but he killed people.
Well, they said you can get out, but you can't stay in Ohio. You have to go back to Tennessee. Like, you can't stay in Ohio.
I'm not comprehending this. So just don't come back to Ohio and don't kill anybody again.
They let the murderer out. Yeah, due to overcrowding. Because it was a manslaughter. It wasn't murder. It was manslaughter.
I'm sorry. Hang on, folks. Mm-hmm. So you said he was stabbed 40 times?
Yeah. But he died later.
That was an accident?
They never came up with a solid story of what actually happened. Pete gave 10 different accounts of that story. So they just took him to trial on manslaughter. Because you can't prove anything. Because it really looked like he had a mental breakdown for a second and fucking snapped and just attacked these two dudes. And no one knows why. One lived. He doesn't know why. He has no idea what led up to the attack of them both. And the guy died later at the hospital. He didn't die in the house. He died later on.
They could have released somebody else. Okay, anyway.
They could have released somebody else. They released a bunch of people due to overcrowding. And he was from out of state. he wasn't a local person because he wasn't born in Ohio.
But he killed people!
Yeah, he wasn't born in Ohio. He was from, he's a Tennessee native, not Ohio. Good. So he was released and sent back. So in the early 80s, Pete was released on parole and goes back to Elkington, Tennessee. That's where they're from.
Yeah.
A town with a no more at the time. Okay, I don't know what the population of it now is. At the time, they had fewer than 500 residents. Located by the border of Alabama.
Alabama?
Yeah.
Well, they have really small rural areas.
Little towns. I've never been out that way, but I assume it's really pretty.
It is. It's a lot, really lush and green.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So Denise was not happy about Pete getting released and coming back to their house.
Oh, so he moved in with bro.
He moved in with his brother.
Oh, yeah.
And Pat went from being reliable, family man, everything else, to being a fuck with his brother. Going back to fucking around with good old Pat. So the brothers were forming this close relationship again in this shitty little farmhouse. It literally, you guys have seen Texas Chainsaw Massacre?
Yeah.
It's that fucking house.
Oh, good.
That's what it looks like.
I wouldn't let that man move in. Brother or not. I don't know, dude. I don't know.
Yeah, well, Denise, I don't know if Denise had much say in what goes on.
Yeah. But,
so they start living together in the little farm, in the shitty farmhouse near Sandy Lawn Truck Stop. And their house becomes known as the Drug and Party House Stop.
Sweet.
If you want to get fucked up. They sold things and did things such as Valium, Dilaudid, cocaine, and alcohol flowed freely. Young people would come all hours of the day and night. Even though they partied with everyone, everybody still knew not to fuck around with them. They had what the cops refer to as a Manson-like following.
Yeah.
And
people that looked up to these fools.
Yeah, like they were still scared of them, but still were like, you guys are kind of cool. The boys relished in their reputations as people not to fuck with.
As power. Yeah.
And especially in a small town like that, being that big. Because, okay, so in junior high, they're 250 to 300 pounds. We're talking about grown-ass men.
Yeah.
At this point in time. So I'm sure in a town of 500 people or less, it's not fucking hard to become a hard ass.
Everybody knows these guys.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. And one was already, everybody knew that Pete went to prison.
Yeah.
When he came home. So there's that too. One of them's a killer.
Yeah.
So, Pat would do weird things too. So it wasn't just Pete doing like off the wall weird things to keep people afraid. Pat did shit like, he would take a pound of raw hamburger and, like, slam it on the table to draw attention to the table and sit there and eat it in front of everybody. Raw hamburger.
Well, back then,
to kind of be like, I'm nuts.
I guess
I'm crazy.
They didn't have as much shit in the hamburger as they
do
now. Huh.
Yeah. So
I'm a badass, so I'm going to eat raw meat.
More, I think, sweet. I don't think that was like, I'm a badass. I think that was more like, I'm fucking loked out, bro. So, like, you guys see I'm crazy. You know I'm crazy. And I'm mean. And I'm a hard ass. And I eat raw hamburger meat. What's up? Say some. No one ever did.
Yeah, I'd probably cross the street.
Yeah, I probably would just be like, well, you want ketchup? Like, dipping sauce? No? Okay. I'll take my drink and my fucking pills over to this side of the room, sir. So, in May of 1986, my hubby was born.
Aww.
Just kidding. He wasn't born in May, but he was born that year. Gwen Duggar went there with her little brother, Ken, to the farmhouse. His car had broken down in front of the farmhouse. And so they were going to fix it and obviously just go about their day. Well, It was daytime when they got there, nighttime by the time the car was fixed. The whole time she's inside hanging out with Denise and everybody else, and there's a couple other people there too.
Yeah.
So she's inside.
Chilling.
Social bird. Brother's outside fixing his shit. She's about 5'3", 110 pounds. She has a little son that she loved very much, very deeply. She was known for wearing a pink diaper pin on her shoe. It was kind of a joke because she went to the store to get diaper pins. They didn't have blue ones. They had pink ones. So she had to buy the pink ones, yeah. Even though she had a son.
Yeah.
So it was kind of a cute little joke. And it was her way to keep her son with her everywhere she went. Very cute. Very precious, actually. So the brother says, hey, my car is fixed. It's nighttime. Let's go. She's like, oh, well, no. Pat said he would take me home. So I'm going to stay. She was never seen again. So here's kind of what happened. And I'll finish off what happened after we get to the other part. But Pete kept giving her pills until she was she was conscious, but she was unable to
defend herself. Yeah.
She was getting to the zombie mode. So he takes Pete takes her into the bathroom and starts having sex with her. Pat goes in there as well and starts having sex with her. Denise comes in the room and realizes everybody's no longer in the room and that one of the guys that was there is standing in front of the bathroom door. So she pushes past that guy, gets in there. She's fucking pissed.
Well, yeah.
Now we just caught our husband in a sexual act with this girl who looks like she's fucking out of her goddamn mind. She's peeled the fuck back. Brother's in there. Shit's crazy. So Denise starts trying to get everybody out. She slaps Gwen. And then she kind of realizes at that time, like, oh, damn.
She's fucked up.
She's fucked up. Like, yeah. She's not here.
Yeah.
And Pat brings her over an axe and says, here, hit her with this. Denise says, no, I'm not going to fight her because she's fucked up.
Yeah.
Like, someone needs to take her the fuck home.
Well, why is she even talking to this Pat character anyway?
Well, because, I mean, we're...
boning this
yeah.
other chick out.
We're in to him. We're in a thing. Everything's hot and heated. Next thing she knows, Pat stands behind Gwen and lowers the axe down on the top of her head. She doesn't fall. Her knees buckle. She doesn't fall. So he does it again. This time she falls. This part's just so fucked up. So as Denise is sitting there watching Pat become the monster that Pete was and that she didn't want him to be, Pete walks up and shoots Gwen 2 times with a .22. He shoots her once right in the middle of her eyebrows and then again on the side of the head. The brothers were known for saying no body, no crime multiple times. So the family knew that that was the last place she was seen at. So they go and confront the brothers. The brothers are like, she's not fucking here, dude. She left. We don't know what happened to her. She left. And so they just go about their day. No one knows what happened to her. She just becomes a missing person that leaves this poor baby boy behind.
And Denise didn't say anything?
No, Denise doesn't say anything. Well, not now. Not now. She doesn't say anything.
Oh, honey.
So in October, Ronnie Gaines, also known as Hippie, and that's what I'm going to refer to him as, went missing. Mm-hmm. He worked with Pat at the plastic place. And Pat's wallet had come up missing. He dropped it at a bar, I think it was. But he accused Hippie of taking it. Hippie was a very hardworking person. He didn't have much. He had very little, actually. He loved his family. He wasn't able to give his kids much, except for he did make them at one point in time a precious little rocking chair.
Aww.
So, So a few nights before is when Pat starts thinking that Hippie took his wallet and Hippie stole it.
Yeah.
And so they're playing, they're eating pizza, they're playing cards and everything else. They're having a great old time. So next thing anybody knows, well, no one's there. It's just Hippie and Pat. So I guess anybody, I'm talking about Pat. I'm talking about Hippie. So the next thing before Hippie knows, Pat is viciously beating him with the rocking chair. He beats him so bad, so brutally, that the only thing that remains of the chair is splinters of it. Pieces. That's it. So they take him. He puts him in the bathtub. He has someone call. He calls over to the truck stop, tells someone at the truck stop, get Pete, send Pete to the farmhouse.
Yeah.
Pete goes to the farmhouse and they dismember Hippie. They chop him up. Pete goes and sets fire to Hippie's house and burns it to the ground. And they take Hippie's body to their family farm and burn him a couple pieces, and then they stash pieces throughout their parents' land.
Mm-hmm.
And then, so the cops are like, well, we need to find out what happened to this missing guy. They heard that Pat was playing cards with them.
Yeah.
So they tell Pat, they're like, hey, dude, we need to ask you some questions about your missing friend. Will you come down to the police station? Pat says, yeah, sure, when I get my lawyer. And he takes a lawyer there. So
well, this is two people comes up yeah, missing at his
and
house.
Red flags, because the cops are like, why the fuck do you need a lawyer, dude?
To we're, answer questions.
We're, yeah, we're just trying to talk to you and see what happened and find out where he went. Why are you being so crazy? Like, lawyers. Okay, sure. So they bring the lawyers. They talk to him. He gives multiple different stories about the last interactions with Hippie. And so they go about their days. And the cops, at this time, they don't give a good timeline. So that's why I'm not giving one, like year-wise.
Yeah.
So time has passed. So in this time, Denise and Pat are separated. We're not divorced. We're just living different lives. We're cohabiting differently.
Yeah.
So Pat has a side girlfriend. She's not really a side girlfriend, but she's not really a girlfriend either. So the cops set up a meeting with her for November 18th of 1986. 2 days before that, the cops get a call from the brothers saying that she died in bed with Pete. Who is Emma? Is that Jeremy? Oh, okay. So they think that she died in bed.
Yeah.
She technically died of an overdose. So they thought she died of an overdose in bed with Pete, which is kind of weird that they call her Pat's girlfriend, but she died supposedly in bed with Pete.
Yeah.
I don't know what the fuck these brothers be up to. Anyway, but there was a witness there before she died. The witness saw Pat giving her a hot shot.
Oh.
And I don't know if any of you guys know what a hot shot is, but a hot shot is just an huge amount
of heroin
or whatever it is you're shooting up. You just get more than what you would ever have normally done yourself. So, like I said, there is a witness that saw him, Pete, giving her it. So it took 3 years. In late 1989, Pat's soon-to-be ex, Denise, is dating a snitch, and she doesn't know it.
Oh, shit.
So she tells the snitch a bunch of shit. He goes to the cops, and he's like, am I the best snitch in the world? You guys, I solved it. And so the police go to Denise, and they're like, hey.
You need to have a chit-chat.
Isn't it time that you tell us? And she goes, well, I will tell you a story if you give me immunity. And they're like, okay, deal. Spill the beans. And boy fucking does she. So she starts off with...
Does she go into witness protection?
No.
Oh my gosh.
She starts off with Gwen. And she says, well, the reason you guys didn't find her fucking body is because they burnt it. And it took 3 days to burn her entire body. To nothing. The boy, and they cleaned up all the blood. They burnt mattresses. They burnt everything that had blood on it in the home in a big burn pile.
Yeah.
Including her shoes, her outfit, her purse, her belongings.
Well, if it took 3 days to burn the body, then how come nobody saw this? Well, they're doing the investigation at the farmhouse. And nobody saw this.
Well, they weren't. It's years later. That's way. Yeah, that's not even in the same timeline. Timeline. Yeah. Right.
Okay.
Like, they were like, oh, it's Tennessee. I'm assuming that burning your trash is very common, normal.
In the rural areas, yeah.
You know?
Yeah.
So for all anybody knows, they were cleaning out their shitty little farmhouse and fucking finally cleaning it out. Who knows? Bunch of trash. No one knew. But she said it took 3 days to burn her to nothing. So they go, the cops and Denise go to the farmhouse.
Awful.
They dig up where Denise says is where they burnt all the bedding, the beds, everything that had blood on it, including the shoes and the body. I mean, not the body, the shoes and the clothes and everything else. So the only thing that they find when they start digging it up, sticking out of the ground, is the burnt remains of the shoe that had the baby pin on it. Mm-hmm. And the detective starts crying in the episode. And he's like, it was like her way of saying, I was here. It wasn't, she only wore this pin on one shoe.
Yeah.
So it was just.
She didn't start a fad.
Yeah, no.
Yeah.
So it was just her way of saying, I was here. That's all they ever found of her. Was her shoe. Her burnt shoe. So then they were like, okay, so let's go to Hippie. She's like, he got killed. They chopped up the body. They spread him out. The only pieces of Hippie they found were skull fragments.
Yeah.
Pieces of it with that they could get DNA off of. I guess there was still enough that they could get DNA off of it. That's all they ever found of Hippie. And that's how they found out about his house being burnt down and everything, too, was that it was Pete who burnt down the house, but Pat who killed him.
Yeah.
And that the boys just dismembered him together. And she's the one that says that the only thing left of the precious chair from Hippie's children was splinters. So both brothers are convicted of the killing of Gwen and given life. They were given life, but it's weird. Sorry. It's weird. I'll explain it. Both brothers were convicted of killing Gwen and the murder of Hippie. But Pat got life for that murder. For Hippie's murder, Pat got life. Uh-huh. Sorry. Pete was convicted of Gwen's murder and Terry's murder and the arson of Hippie's house. After serving 25 years in prison, on December...
Well, they kept him this time.
On December 26th of 2016, Pete was released at the age of 61 years old. Pete is out, Pat is not. And I don't know, it doesn't say that he's like died anything, like the newspapers in Tennessee or Alabama have not said that he has passed away yet. So I'm assuming Pete is in Tennessee.
Listening. No, I'm kidding.
What up, Pete? Homeboy Pete.
Oh no.
But Pete's among us. I don't know. And Pat is not. Denise moved on with her life, but of course, Pete did get out, so they said that there was, like, fear, but...
Well, no.
No shit. Pointing out the obvious there. But these brothers fed off of each other. It's that twin thing. Okay, so my siblings are twins. They don't have that. But there is a dominant twin. Like, yeah. My sister's the dominant twin.
Yeah.
My brother's the follower. So, in twins, it's very common for that to be the situation where there's a dominant twin and a submissive twin.
Mm-hmm.
And they said that's what happened here, is if it wasn't for Pete, Pat never would have lost his fucking mind. Because before Pete got out, remember, Pat was living a normal life. No one knows why he killed Hippie. Except for the fact that he did think that Hippie stole his wallet. But no one knows why. Like, if that was really...
Maybe he wanted to kill again.
Maybe. I don't know. But it's maybe. And I look at it as maybe, in my thought, maybe when Pat kills Hippie, it's his way of showing Pete, like, I don't fucking need you to do this part. Like, you can come help me with the end. I still need you to help me with the end.
Mm-hmm.
But, like, look what I did. Am I a good boy? Like, I beat this dude. Help me take care of it. Is my thought.
Probably.
Because who knows?
Twin thinking.
Yeah, who knows the buildup to, like, who put the thought of Hippie stealing the wallet in his head to begin with? You know what I mean? How that thought even originated in his mind that it was Hippie.
Yeah.
So, maybe. Maybe. But yeah, Gwen never got in trouble for nothing. Nothing at all.
You mean Denise?
I mean, yeah, sorry, Denise. Sorry. I'm so sorry. Yeah, Gwen passed away, like I said. Sorry. I'm so horrible with fucking names. It is okay. I don't hate myself for it. But, yeah, they never said what happened to her family or anything like that, of course. Except for the fact that they did know all along that something happened to her in that house.
Yeah.
And they were the firm believers behind that in the town that, like, no, something happened to her there. They did something. Her family always knew that and believed that. And were proven right in the end. It's just horrible. In such a small little town.
Community.
Yeah. Oh, yeah, it's not even really a town. It's more of a community. It's just heartbreaking. It's just, it only takes two people to turn 500 or less people's lives upside down.
Yeah.
Because, I mean, everybody gets affected. Not just Gwen's family. They do get the worst end of it, but everybody in the community does. Your community is no longer safe. Horrible things happened here and no one...
Well, and now he's out.
Huh?
Now he's out.
Yeah, and now he's out. I don't know if he went back to the same small little town in Tennessee, if that's where he went to. It didn't say. It just said that he was released the day after Christmas. You know, I don't know. It's kind of fucked up because Pete was the worst one behind it.
Mm-hmm.
And so the fact that Pete gets to get out of prison twice for taking people's lives, I don't believe that we won't find out that Pete ends up going back to fucking prison for murder.
Yeah.
Again. Or does something. 61 years old doesn't mean shit.
Or if his silly died accidentally.
Who knows? I get by now he... And I'll post their pictures. And I mean, by now, I guess he probably would be bigger. Maybe his health isn't in the best shape. In the show, they refer to them as ugly, big, obese boys. Like, they were just ugly, big. They weren't ugly. So I have a hard time calling people ugly.
Yeah.
They weren't ugly. Like, their insides were ugly. But, like, don't people shame, no matter what. And obese, I'm not a fucking doctor. I'm not gonna call you obese. You're just a big boy.
Yeah.
You always hear that from them southern little towns, big boys come out of there.
Corn fed.
Yeah, that's what it was. That's what it was, the corn fed. So, like, I don't know. I'm not going to call you obese. But they did take people's lives. So, I mean, they are still horrible in that sense.
Well, and does the mind change after that many years in prison?
25 years. I mean, I guarantee you that 25 didn't feel like 25 to him. I guarantee you that felt a lot longer. And that takes a lot out of a person.
Yeah.
So maybe there was change. I mean, and maybe there's guilt too of him just sitting there being sad that Pat's in prison. And he's not. So maybe he's just going to waste away in his final days, sad, missing his brother and being big. Who knows? I don't know, but Pete, if you're listening, what you up to?
That's crazy talk. Huh.
So tell me what happened.
I don't even understand why they would let him out.
I don't know. It never said either.
All of those charges.
It never said either. And it was
unreal.
Yeah. All it said is that the day and that he was 61 years old upon release.
Do you think they felt silly for letting him out the first time?
I'm sure Ohio was like, damn, maybe we shouldn't have.
Yeah.
But you really, I mean, you can't blame a state and be like, Ohio, it's your fault for not letting him do a sentence.
I can't process that. Someone died and it's 5 years. And the manslaughter, come on, 40 times. He was stabbed 40 times. He wasn't hit by a car because you were sliding on the ice or something tragic.
Mm-hmm.
That's pretty deliberate.
Yeah. I don't know. And I get where Ohio's coming from, where they're like, well, we don't know exactly what happened. All we know, Pete was given the good boy story of like, I changed my ways. I found Jesus. I'm a good big boy. I just want to go home. And they were like, well, good, because home ain't Ohio.
Yeah.
Go the fuck back to Tennessee. See you later.
We don't want you here.
And then they washed their hands of him. It was up to Pete to get released to not go do anything. And that's not the choices that these brothers made.
Hmm.
And it's kind of sad because you always... I know a bunch of siblings that one sibling always gets brought down by the other sibling. Like the other sibling would do fine without the other one.
Yeah.
And when the other one's not around, the one prospers.
Yeah.
Until the one comes back around and then they lose everything.
Feed off each other.
Yeah. So, I mean, it's common, I guess, but twins fascinate the shit out of me. My twins have always been my favorite twins, but it just fascinates me to watch them and to just all twins, just the way their minds work is insane because they do have a connection. And it's just so intense. It's so crazy. Like my little sister knows when my little brother's sad. Like, he's in prison in a whole other state. Like, they are states apart, California, Idaho.
Mm-hmm.
And she still knows when he's sad. And it's just fucking crazy. Like, she knows. She gets vibes.
Yeah.
Of like, oh, shit's not right. And then, like, little do you know, he calls her. Like, almost shortly after that, he'll call her and be like, oh, this is what's happened.
Mm-hmm.
And she was right the whole time.
Maybe he gets vibes. Like,
I think he does.
Yeah.
I don't know. They're amazing. But that's our show, folks.
Yeah.
That's it. So.
That's crazy.
I'm going to tell Jean about a guy next week on Sunday. There will be some audio clips. It is going to be not good for people who have been raped or held captive or anything like that to listen to. It's very fucked up.
Might be a trigger.
Might be a trigger warning, definitely. The next episode's a big trigger warning. And I wanted to start out with this one because these people blow my mind. And shout out to the Morbid podcast. Those girls told this story so fucking amazing.
Yeah.
That I looked into it way more than I should have.
Are you okay?
I'm great.
Okay.
I can deal with fucked up things and it just rolls off my back. It doesn't get stuck with me. But that's where I got the next episode from. I'm going to tell Jean about it. And you guys, my view, I'm not in any way, shape, or form trying to be like Morbid or anything else. But I love Ash, by the way. Fuck, those guys are amazing. Shout I love them out. Both, but Morbid's amazing. So that's where it comes from. We're going to talk about the toy box killer.
Oh,
yeah.
I might be tired. I don't know if I can sleep now. Great.
So it's going to be very dark and very crazy. And like I said, I wanted to start out with this one, but I told my little brother and I showed my little brother the audio clip. And even my brother was like, you probably shouldn't do that right away because that's fucking twisted. And it is. And I literally, after listening to their episode, was fascinated for like 4 days straight. So it's going to be nice to dive back into that.
Maybe put caution tape around next episode.
Maybe. And it is a big trigger warning.
We've already done messed up stories.
Well, we have, but not this bad.
What?
Not this bad.
Oh, God.
So it's going to be crazy.
We're in this together.
Okay. Yeah. So that's what's coming at you next week.
It is what it is.
It is what it is. So follow us on, like us on Twitter. I don't know. Like us, follow us. I don't know how the fuck Twitter works. On
Follow
Twitter.
Us on Twitter.
There we go.
Yep.
At it is what it is. Oh, yeah. It is what it is 208 because that's where we're from. I got scared. On Facebook, it is what it is, a true crime podcast. On Instagram, it is what it is, pod 19. On YouTube, it is what it is at pod 19. Oh, nope. At YouTube, it is what it is, a true crime podcast. That's what the fuck YouTube is. I'm still hating on YouTube.
Hey, we are not hating on YouTube.
I am. Jean's not.
You guys can be honest, too. I'm working on her. Hang on.
Fuck off. But my cousin's coming. He's loud and boisterous and amazing like that. So we're going to end this before everybody ends up hearing whoever's fucking business he's on the phone with. So, yeah. Stay tuned for Sunday.
Thanks for listening.
Peace out.
Bye.
Don't go crazy with your twins either.